You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, it's a good morning and welcome to the Valley of Praise right here on the Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. Now, November is generally known as the Movember month in South Africa and worldwide. And today I've got a very special guest in the house. But before we get to our guest, I just want to read a verse from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 9 to 12. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." So today, our conversation that we are having with Lunga Ncalandlovu is finding men. Good morning to you, Lunga.
Good morning, my brother. Are you well?
I'm good, man. And how are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me. And good morning and good evening and hello to your listeners.
And Lunga comes to us from BWSA Brave Works Support Academy, a suicide prevention organization. Lunga, why? Why are we talking about men? What's happening? Is there something wrong that we've done or something that's happening to us?
Excuse me. It's a very, very important question. Mm-hmm. Very, very powerful question. And this is the kind of question that we need to have more of. It needs to be asked more. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be asked to many other people.
Yeah.
But to get straight to the answer is, I think your Bible verse kind of really puts the foundation for the question and for the topic that we're going to be talking about. Mm. You know, even God himself was looking for man. Even God, I mean, like just analyze that for a second. I mean, he is an all-encompassing, almighty, all-powerful, the beginning, the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Mm. I mean, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, but yet
he's looking
for our heir.
Wow. Wow.
And as part of me wants to say, I don't think God really didn't see him like...
He didn't know where he was.
Maybe the physicalness of him or whatever, but like, oh, he knew he's there.
Yeah.
That's why he's asking. That's why he's calling out to him.
Yeah.
You know, like he knows he's there, but he can't place him. He can't pinpoint him at all. Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
It means that... where is man? Is he lost? Is he misplaced? Or is he just busy somewhere else that we can't see him? That's not being lost. It just means that he is focused on something else. He's not within preview, like and so on. You know.
Yeah.
So why we're having this conversation is that I've been lost.
Yeah,
I'm a man.
Mm.
I can't speak for all men. I can speak for myself. I've been lost, and I'm finding my way.
Yeah,
and I ask myself the same question every day. But mostly, what inspired me to start even Brave Work Support Academy, the suicide prevention organization, is because a few years ago, my cousin, a young man, who was married. He's got a child, took his own life. You know, he took his own life. He went to a gun range. He'd done the whole process to, you know, do the gun range activities. And then at the end, you know, asked for another magazine, and then he'd done what he'd done.
Wow.
That shook me.
Yeah.
Tommy, that shook me, man. Shook me so hard that I was like... Sure.
Yeah.
A huge part of me, I think we all kind of, for anyone who's experienced this type of thing, we all kind of like sit back and say, sheesh, I wish I was there.
And you never saw it coming?
No. No, man.
But before we...
Anyway, sorry.
Before we get into that in the deeper sense, we were talking whilst maybe during the week and sometime, and we were talking about as we were preparing for this conversation, that it would seem that, and I talk from a South African point of view.
Yeah.
It would seem like as the males in South Africa, we're being marginalized on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
We find ourselves being pushed to the peripheral.
Yeah.
And at times, it's because of the mistakes that we have done.
Mm-hmm.
And we find ourselves being punished.
Mm.
And you'd assume and think that this punishment, it will get to an end.
Mm.
But it seems like the punishment never ends.
Mm.
And it would seem like in the process of trying to fix the past wrongs,
mm-hmm.
Society is creating more wrongs by marginalizing mm-hmm. men, taking away opportunities.
Mm.
And when opportunities do rise, we're always mm. reminded of mm-hmm. how wrong we are, of mm-hmm. our past.
Sure.
And so the month of November
mm.
comes along and says, listen, man, let's raise awareness.
Yeah.
Don't die in your own corner.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally. Mm-hmm. And they raise awareness around prostate cancer, raise awareness around not going through things alone,
mm.
trying to be part of a community that will give you support.
Yeah.
So in essence, it seems as if as men, we're going through a lot alone. Yeah.
Yes, 100%. I think another one that you should add there with the punishment is the withholding of love.
Oh, wow.
That's another painful one. It's mm-hmm. another one that we don't really talk about.
Mm-hmm.
That as a form of punishment, they would withhold love,
mm-hmm.
or they would withhold affection.
Wow.
They would withhold touch.
Yeah.
And attention.
Can I ask, when you say withhold love, are you talking about, it seems as if as men, like, no one says, well done. No one says, yeah. I appreciate you. No one says, I miss you. It's like,
that's love, brother. that's what they withhold.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I mean, if I may be bold enough to say that, excuse me, it's being done because it almost feels like there is a lot of anger and a lot of underlining resentment
mm-hmm.
towards men.
Yeah.
And this thing doesn't just only stay with men, but it flows down to all male figures, even yeah. boys,
mm-hmm.
Which is quite sad.
Yeah.
But now to return to what you started off by saying, you know, next month is Movember, the month where we highlight a lot of things that are happening with men, mental health issues, prostate cancer, and other illnesses of a man. Mm. Basically, looking at the man as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very powerful and an important month that we need to really advocate for so a lot. So my thinking and my understanding, right, or my approach to this thing or to finding men is one that, like the Bible verse, right?
Mm.
The first thing is this. We see that man was not, he's not where he's supposed to be. Thus God couldn't see him.
Yeah.
That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, he's now, when man is found or when man shows himself, like you said, we come and we apologize and we want to fix what was wrong. So man comes and says, yo, God, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm naked, man. I didn't want you to see me like this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want you to see me exposed. I didn't want you to see me vulnerable. I didn't want you to see me less than what you have made me to be or perceive me to be.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, and then that's the first thing,
mm.
Which I think we need to talk to and address in this way, Yogoti. If you keep saying sorry all the time, you're going to become a sorry man.
All right.
And then lose any form of dignity and any self-respect, and then others will not respect you anymore.
Yeah.
If you keep saying sorry. But you also run the risk of being perceived as being arrogant and they label us toxic now if you stand for yourself
mm-hmm.
or if you stand
yeah.
They label you a very aggressive man. Yeah. They say patriarchy. They use these other big words and other things to sideline you, like you've said,
yeah.
when you stand firm on principle. Mm-hmm. Or to, okay, I've done wrong here. Maybe I'm going to verbalize my apology, but my actions are different now.
Mm.
You know, because if we must take a look at man A, who apologized, baby, I'm so sorry. Just, not just baby, but society, I'm sorry. Mm. At work or whatever, I'm sorry. I'll do this. Are you okay? I know I've done wrong. Mm. I'm going to do better. And then he keeps saying that. What happens to man A? After a while, they keep trampling on him. Man B recognizes he's done wrong. Maybe he doesn't say I'm sorry necessarily. He's like, yeah, no. Or maybe he doesn't even say I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He becomes a man about it.
Yeah.
And he just continues. But he does things differently now.
Mm-hmm.
If he neglected, he's no longer neglecting.
Mm-hmm.
If he dropped the ball at work, he's no longer doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say he's got an ego, this guy.
Okay.
He doesn't like to, you know, he doesn't admit that he's wrong.
Yeah.
But who then is offered more respect and keeps going? Because now that guy is not going to be chased up every day to say, well, now you didn't do it. No. He's doing the right thing now.
Mm.
But the other guy...
But it seems we're between a rock and a hard place.
Extremely. And that's why. And the last thing is that when man says it's the woman who gave me the fruit, when man shifts accountability, the problem then begins. I feel like that's the way the problem begins. So I think my purpose is to ultimately not just find the man, but empower the man to be able to take his accountability and responsibility, not as a weakness, not as something that's going to kill him, not as something that he needs to make up for someone else, but for him. Men need to rise, not for everyone else, but to rise because it's within our nature to do so, to pick up our position because that is who we are. It's to stand and say, I am man, not because of I'm a father. No, you're first a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're first that.
Mm-hmm.
Before you become anything else for anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I want to be, man. Mm. That's where my, if I had to theme my month, 2024, it's there.
Mm.
Uti, let us become who we are meant to become in spite of everyone else.
Mm.
Now, so how, you know, like, I must say this, and I really want to say it, even if maybe at the risk of sounding somehow. Back in the days when they were trying to address the issue of, I put it in inverted commas, no, equality for women and so on. I put it in inverted commas for a reason.
Mm.
So they were doing that. Women were rising at the expense of men.
Right.
Their rise is bashing and destroying everything masculine.
Mm-hmm.
Their rise is saying, hey, give me room, give me space, move out the way, you know, and then they squash everything that resembles
or represents male
in its raw and true form.
Mm-hmm.
That's their claim, or that's their way of rising.
Yeah.
Which I feel maybe they felt they should do it. I can't really speak to it because I'm not a woman necessarily, because I wouldn't know what they really go through, and I don't want to belittle whatever they're going through.
Yeah.
I want to see it with respect, but also at the same time, I want to call something when I see it's wrong.
Yeah,
you can't climb by killing me. Why kill me for you to get your peace? There's no need.
You know what, Lunga? Can I come in there?
Sure.
I was reading a book. This book is entitled The War Against Boys.
Sheesh.
Now, this book then goes back...
Oh, the title gives me goosebumps. Sure.
It goes back to the 1960s, late 50s, 1960s. And this book is written by a female. And she highlights the issue of feminism.
Hmm.
And she then says, feminism begins as... the original concept of feminism was to address... genuine things.
Okay.
But after a certain organization, I can't remember the organization in America, then misconstrued findings that were done.
Mm.
They came out and said, men are oppressive, men are doing this, men are this, and men are this. And that was the birth of toxic feminism. Mm. Feminism that sought to destroy men.
Mm.
To such an extent, when they created a day called Bring Your Daughter to Work.
Yes.
When the same concept was proposed for males, this organization made sure that this proposal of Bring Your Son to Work is killed and squashed. Now, I want to go back to the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says, "And God said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness." And therefore, verse 27, he says, he created therefore male and female. And in my mind, both are created in the image of God. Both are important in the sight of God. However, society has deemed that one of them should lose value. One of them should lose importance. And I'm talking to the aspect that there's been this attack that says we need to fix some wrongs. But in the process of fixing some wrongs, let's kill this one. And it seems as if this thing keeps on perpetuating, growing bigger and bigger. And as men, I talk to men in spaces. Men are frustrated.
Yo, my man.
And men are complaining in corners to say, opportunities are getting taken away. I mean, I can give you an example. I went for an interview. I aced the interview. Aced it. I could even feel that I'm acing this thing. Lo and behold, I get a call. The call says, man, you did well. You did extremely well. And you're the guy we're looking for. But we can't take you.
Amen.
Because you're male. We need a female. Can you imagine how that made me feel?
Oh, man. Oh, I can feel it right. Like, sitting across from you right now, I feel it. You know? Yo. I must get that. What's the title of the book again?
The War Against Boys.
The War Against Boys.
I've actually got a soft copy. I will look for it and I'll share it.
Sure. No, they'll be an interesting read. You know, I see, Tom, where we are right now. I don't want to. It's important we speak from this perspective. I really think it is. But I didn't. It's not a place where I really want to dwell too much in it. When I say this place, I mean I don't want to speak about men rising or men finding men and put in their woman. Like I want us to find us for us, by us, you know, without saying they do this, they then that. It's important for context. It's important for us to be able to understand the history of all things. It's important. Why I want to go this way is because I intentionally don't. I don't want there
attack
to be
another.
Or to show. You put it so perfectly when you spoke out the scripture. God made a man and woman both in God's image, and when He spoke, He spoke and made. He said He made it sound singular.
Yeah,
man and woman. Like He made it sound like it's one thing.
Yeah,
and I truly believe you are one thing. We can coexist together in our different roles. Now, society has defined these roles over the years. There's something that I think I shared with you about value. You know, 100 years ago. There was value for women to be inside the household and raise kids and do that and be a housewife. That held a really high value system in society, and thus it brought a lot of self-esteem towards women. Now things have changed for women. Now it's about corporate, it's about making it, getting the bag, it's about doing this. So the value of being a housewife is no longer of that high value. So thus, if you were to do it now and share about it, it won't be celebrated in that sense. And then it would equate to a lower self-esteem. It'll give you that lower self-esteem. But if you're making it as a woman, it does create a lot of value, and then now it gives you an esteem, like it esteems you. It becomes higher of value. So same thing with men, like hundreds of years ago, it was we go to the mines, we do this, we be semazang ezandla, we used to work with our hands, we used to plow and do all these things. That was of a high value. Or go to war, you know, literally go to war, that was high value. Now it's a bit confusing because you want to bring the bacon home, but you're told that, no, there's no need. First of all, you bring the bacon home to who? She's not there.
But let's put it this way. We live in a time, and you rightly put it, in a time where the old, what we were used to, is no longer. We live in a time where now she brings in the dough. You bring in the dough. We are equal.
Mm.
We're on the same platform. Mm. And man finds himself becoming irrelevant in this space.
Yeah.
And the man then says, who am I? What am I? But maybe, Elunga, that's where the problem lies.
Mm.
Because we defined ourselves based on finances.
Yeah, there's a thing. I think we defined ourselves according to a specific need in a specific time.
Yeah.
So back then, we needed certain type of men to be there, you know, so the men can go and construct, they must go and build the pyramids, they must go and build the bridges, they must go build the roads. The importance of men then was more, was this hammer and spade.
Yeah.
That was crucial because we were in the Industrial Revolution. We need to build and go to mines. Now, do you define a man for that time in that way? Mm. So the problem that we done was you take that definition of man in the 1920s or whatever, and we wanted to carry it over to 1980s to 2000 to 2024, and yet value and needs change in society. So we cannot now define ourselves like women. They've changed. Things have changed, right? Yeah.
Mm.
They're no longer defined by being a housewife, right?
Yeah.
They are something else now. Mm. So times change. So it's important now for us to understand the times we're in as men, and then we find our place in that. Because one, is there room now? Because if the roles have changed, if a woman now is bringing the bacon, does it mean that the man must be the house husband? you know, that's one question to ask yourself. Mm. And then if you're both bringing in the bacon, what type of mindsets are we bringing this bacon to? What type of spiritual environment are we bringing this bacon to? Are we bringing it to a place where we are now always contesting for who maybe is superior? Where now there's nothing wrong with questioning each other, because you know as we debate as partners, we sharpen each other's minds, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, what are we doing?
Mm.
You know, so because that gets a bit complicated, and because there's another party that's involved in it, we can't have a discussion on the one side without the other party being there. So I'm saying that, you know, to say, men. With so much, because we get so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And another thing, as men, we are very in tune with our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And we are afraid to accept that because it somehow comes across as weakness, or somehow comes across that's a feminine thing that's supposed to be happening, and it should not be within a man. And we work so hard to cast it out. Or we work so hard to suppress it with alcohol or drugs, or we work so hard to suppress it with work.
Mm.
We work so hard to avoid it with multiple relationships that have no depth or meaning, because we want to flush out this annoying thorn on the side, which is emotions that we need to engage in. We need to engage with.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Lunga Ngalandlovu, who is the founder of BWSA Brave Work Support Academy, a suicide prevention organization. We're laying the ground to talk about more about this issue of suicide, where it stems from. We can't just jump into talking about suicide without understanding where the push to go into suicide comes from. We've touched on the element that Adam hid from God, and that men, times have changed. What men used to be is no longer valid and relevant in this day and age. So it means that man is struggling to find himself in this space. And so how does he find value in a space that no longer values him bringing in the money. What does he need to do to become relevant in this day and age? So this conversation still continues.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.